Ma. When Ivan Klima was a little boy, he knew he wanted to be a writer. Today he is one of the most respected figures in Czech literature. Ivan Klima's life journey included years spent in a Nazi concentration camp, membership of the Communist Party, and later a life on the fringe of society after he was expelled from the party and joined Czechoslovakia's opposition movement. In his latest book, My Crazy Century, Ivan Klima explains just how he found himself in the rank of the Communist Party, a totalitarian and criminal organization that ruled his country for four decades. My Crazy Century is part memoirs, part a collection of essays on topics related to social history, political thinking, communism and freedom. When I first read the book, there were many words that came to mind to describe what the author went through. When, on a stormy evening, I sat down with Ivan Klima in his house in Prague, I wondered why he chose to call it crazy.
Because it was crazy. It was probably there's so many wars, killing, murdering, and so many stupid dictatorships. During the whole century, it started in the year 14, this crazy wars, First World War. Then it continued in Germany, in Italy, and then in the Soviet Union, of course. And then this communist era lasted nearly till the end of 80s. And between, there were so many killing in Africa, in Cambodia, and in China, of course. So it was really, in some way, the most cruel and the most crazy century in the whole history.
Ivan Klima was born in Prague in the middle of the Great Depression into a middle-class family. His father was an engineer and a member of the Communist Party, while his uncle was a communist senator. Ivan Klima says that the economic crisis was tough and communist propaganda sounded very attractive.
In our country, it was really a very difficult time for so many people. And for example, my father, he was working in a big factory, so he didn't lose his job because he was a specialist, but he was on very friendly terms with many workers. And most of them lost their jobs. So he was probably influenced by this crisis and by these ideas of better life and more freedom and more justice. It means by communist propaganda.
Ivan's parents were Jewish. He heard the word Jew for the first time during the dark years of the late 1930s. But his parents were very much aware of the danger. After the Munich Agreement of autumn 1938, they were planning to leave the country for the United Kingdom. Here is a passage from My Crazy Century.
My father was disappointed with the English, but my parents told me we were going to move to England. And I got this very cute English textbook with pictures that was called Laugh and Learn, and my mum started to learn with me. I wanted to know why we should move to a country where people spoke a language I didn't understand, where words like sponge and washbasin were read differently than they were written, why we had to move from our apartment that we all liked. My dad said I wouldn't understand, but that he had been offered a good job, whereas here anything could happen, especially if the country was occupied by the Germans, who were ruled by some upholsterer and a nasty piece of work called Hitler. One snowy day the Germans did indeed invade the country. My mum was crying and lamenting that had Masaryk been alive, he wouldn't have let the Germans in.
In the years to come, there was little laughing and learning for Ivan Klima and his family. In 1941, they were deported to Terezin, a concentration camp for European Jews. The family spent 3.5 years there before the ghetto was liberated by the Red Army. This experience was crucial for his decision to join the Communist Party some 6 years later.
I tried to explain how it can happen that after this horrible experience in the camp, so many people entered the party. So I tried to explain. I was very young. It was partly influence of my parents and of some of my relatives. But mainly it was expectation that it will be something which will improve the life of everybody. And for me and for many of my friends, or part of my generation, the Soviet Army liberated us. And so we connected the Soviets with freedom, which was, of course, nonsense. And we found it more or less very soon.
Ivan Klíma joined the Czechoslovak Communist Party in the spring of 1951. A year before, the democratic politician Milada Horáková was sentenced to death in a showcase trial and executed. Here's another passage from Ivan Klíma's latest book.
During all the oral and written exams, my history teacher called me into the teacher's lounge and told me that the party cell at our school had decided to offer me membership in the Communist Party. We all believe, she said with friendly sternness, that the party will help you in your efforts for a higher civic-mindedness and that your work will be an asset to the party. I said thank you. At home, I carefully filled in the application. My class background was not very good. I did not know of any workers among my ancestors. But I did have two uncles who had been executed who, with the same poor class background, were pre-war party functionaries and national heroes. At home, I showed off my new party book, but to my surprise, there was no praise. My dad just said, "It was your decision." My mother looked skeptical. "Couldn't you wait for a bit longer?" And my 13-year-old brother noted that in his class they had a name for people like me, newborn Redskins.
3 years after Ivan became a party member, his father was sentenced to jail by the new class justice for crimes he never committed. Ivan Klíma says that his father's experience was one of the first signs that something had gone terribly wrong.
I found that it was really a criminal organization with criminal aims, that we found more or less sometime in the beginning of 50s, really contact reality. So we found the horrible lies about the whole life and how many people were murdered, how many people were sent into the concentration camp. My own experience with my father, also that he was party member, he was put in the prison and he was sentenced for really entirely invented crimes. So when he came back from the prison, so he informed us about the details, how the secret police behaved and so on.
But it was typically a book that fully opened Ivan Klíma's eyes. In 1958, Ivan Klíma got hold of The Prophet Unarmed by the Polish-born Marxist historian Isaac Deutscher. The book described the atrocities of the Soviet regime in the 1920s and 30s and shocked the young writer. In the mid-1960s, during a trip to England, Ivan Klíma in fact met Isaac Deutscher, but the encounter turned out to be a disappointment.
Back in London, Janet proudly announced that she had found the address of Isaac Deutscher and arranged for me to meet him at 4 p.m. the next day. So the following day, I bought an extremely expensive, for me at least, bouquet of flowers and arrived at the address, which I have long since forgotten. Mr. Deutscher, a small, bald 60-year-old with a lively appearance and a goatee just like Leon Trotsky, whom he so admired, checked me thoroughly right at the door, looking perhaps for an ice pick hidden under my coat. I think he was interested in what I had to say. He said he particularly followed the developments in Poland as well as in other countries of the Soviet bloc. He understood our disappointment from the post-revolutionary development in our country, but he believed that the Stalinist bureaucratic deformation of socialism could not survive for much longer. What had to survive, what we had to guard, was the idea of socialism and its unquestionable advantages over capitalism.
Mr. Deutscher simply refused to acknowledge that the new system as such was completely wrong.
No, he listened to me, but he tried to find for me the right way. It means to criticize bureaucracy, but to be faithful to the ideas of Marx, Engels and Trotsky.
In 1960s Czechoslovakia, the ideas of Marx and Engels came under thorough scrutiny. Many people, including a number of leading intellectuals, saw that the regime was not going to bring a more just society. Instead, it was never going to let go of the power it grabbed after the war. In 1967, at a conference of Czechoslovak writers, several authors had the courage to describe things as they really were. One of them was Ivan Klíma, who was expelled from the Communist Party because of his speech.
The party leadership decided to launch disciplinary action against those of us who were labeled the principal authors of the writers' mutiny and were at the same time members of the Communist Party, that is, against Kohout, Lim, Vatsulik, and me. We never talked about this embarrassing moment in our lives, but I am sure that my friends were, just like I was, accused of revisionism aimed against not only the principles of the party but also against the communist state. They also asked me if I thought that my views were compatible with party membership. I told them they were hardly compatible with the party they had in mind.
This is how the first part of My Crazy Century ends. After the occupation, the Soviets and their Czech helpers launched a period of renewed oppression, and for 20 years the works of Ivan Klima could only be published in the West. Looking back, Ivan Klima says that for those who stood up against the regime, life became much tougher, but also more honest. But we'll have to wait for the second part of My Crazy Century to come out to learn more about Ivan Klima's life in the 1970s and 80s.
What I describe is our experience with secret police, these home searches, and so on and so on. And of course, also about normal life and about children and how we had our clandestine meetings and what we discussed and about the spies and so on. So it's maybe it will be a little more readable because it's partly like a crime story. I'm exaggerating. And there are some essays again. One is about immigration, second is about secret police, and the last one is about perestroika.